Welcome to Ever Beyond, Beyond, on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Greetings, welcome sisters and brothers in the galactic community who happen to be staying on Earth, earthlings, minions of the dark side, and everybody else who just happens to be here for the final game here. Tonight it's the 11th of the 11th, it's 11 o'clock. We were going to have a galactic show with Alex Collier. He's decided that he doesn't want to do it anymore, so we're still going to have a galactic show. We're going to be speaking with Tolek of the Andromedan Council. We're going to be speaking with Rebecca Jernigan, channel of the Elohim. So we're going to have a few viewpoints. We're also going to have maybe a couple more guests in the second hour, and we'll bring them in, and it should be a very interesting conversation. So here we are. It's the 11th of the 11th on the year of the 12, and all these numbers have just come up. At the same time, we have solar eclipses, we have conjunctions, we have earthquakes, we have solar flares coming out of areas. We used to have big earthquakes like once a year. Now we're having them twice a day. We used to have solar flares once every 5 years, and now we're having them twice a day. Things are hotting up. The planet is heating up, and it's not because we're driving cars, because all the other planets in the solar system are heating up. This is the place we find ourselves in at the end of 2012. Not only that, but rippling out from the center of the galaxy is a huge evolutionary wave of photons. People call it the wave, the ribbon, the belt, the photon belt. It's got all different kinds of names. It's a ray of evolution. There's a change in the air. Things are hotting up. Things are ramping up. Things are manifesting. You have a thought, and then you see it manifested before you that very day. And in this atmosphere of magic and of great charm, we have Rebecca Jernigan and Tolek. Greetings. Rebecca, how are you?
Hello, my dear. I'm fabulous. I'm fabulous, fabulous. Glad to be here.
Oh, good. Right. Now I'll take the echo off. You should get a better signal.
You always love to echo everything.
Oh, no. It's an accident. The echoes happen as an accident. It's not because I'm turning on my reverb unit. So we have a packed audience here. If people would like to ask questions, we'll be taking questions maybe in the next hour. We'll be taking maybe some phone calls. We may have extra time if our guests are up to it. We'll see what happens. I want to get cosmic. I want to get a really kind of galactic perspective of what's going on in our little world. Do you think that's a good way of looking at this issue today that we have? Tolek, would you like to introduce yourself and if you've got stuff to share about this, now's your time.
Sure. Well, first of all, I'd like to pick up on a thought that you said about a minute and a half ago. You mentioned a topic of, regarding manifesting. And I can tell you that based on conversations that I've had with friends who are like the two of you, who are awake, who are aware, who are tracking all of the changes that are going on this planet, as an example, 3 years, 4 years ago, you would talk about a subject, you'd investigate it, and you might get some confirmation 3 or 4 days later or a week later. These days, I might do some cosmic, if you will, cosmic research with my my Andromeda Council friends, and we would talk about a topic. And these days, I'm getting confirmation from unsolicited sources, typically a couple of hours later at the most. I'll be out on the web, just kind of wandering around. I call it stumbling. And I'll come across a piece of information which will verify something that we had just talked about like an hour and a half earlier. The point that I'm making is that things are manifesting much faster, much, much faster these days than any time in the past, to the point where it's happening almost within hours of me looking or talking about different subjects that I'm learning about. I don't know how it is for you guys, but that's happening for me quite often.
Well, I'll speak to that for a second. I absolutely concur with that, Tolik. My confirmations are, again, unsolicited sources. Some of them's from the internet. Some is somebody will send me an email, and it'll have something in it. People that are they seriously, I'll get these emails from people, and they'll say, "I don't know. I just feel the need to write to you and share with you." So you can see them just take a deep breath and go, "So here goes. This may sound crazy to you or strange to you, but this is the information I'm supposed to give to you." So I've said through the years, everybody's got a piece of the puzzle, and you never know who the messenger is going to be. And even the messengers don't know that they're necessarily messengers. But that's the divine way that these confirmations, these manifestations show up.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
They come from everywhere. I just love it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. They you're absolutely right. They come from everywhere. I get them from stumbling around the web, and I get them the same as you do. Interesting. Very similar messages. Well, they go, "Tolik, I don't know why I've waited this long, but I've had this information. I felt moved and motivated to write to you, so here goes." And a few of these people, I'll get four or five paragraphs. Every once in a while, I'll get somebody that writes 17 or 18 paragraphs. I go, "Okay, I need a cup of coffee. I gotta come back." But I'll get their half their life story. But the point is that you never know where these little tidbits of confirmation and or wisdom or insight are going to come from. A lot of people don't realize that they are as awake and aware as they are.
Good point. You see, I was thinking about those terms today. I've actually been thinking about the term ascension for a long time. And from a kind of linear perspective that many have, the linear perspective is that when you go up in vibration, you go up, you move somewhere, you physically go up, and something changes, something shifts, and you can discern that you've ascended. It doesn't happen like that. It's you stay in the same place that you're at. But your perspective comes from a loftier place, so to speak, or a higher place. That term loftier isn't meant to be a negative term or a terminology such that it would put somebody else down. Loftier just means higher mindedness, the way that my guides express it to me. So it's, you know, it's just a higher perspective of understanding the illusion of the third dimension. That's what ascension is moving beyond the constructs of the illusion that life was meant to be lived in the way that it is set up for humans to continue to be enslaved. That's not normal for the human experience.
That's right.
Yeah. The way we live right now.
And that's why we call the show Ever Beyond. Because this is where we're at. This is what we're talking about all the time. The whole thrust of what I've been talking about is this moment that we're just about to experience as a planet and as a solar system and as a galaxy.
It's going beyond a paradigm that's been in place for millennia, many millennia.
That's right. And, you know, many people a few years ago didn't know what paradigms or memes are all about, but now people understand. You know, it's a belief system. It's a system that is smaller than our mental reality. It's like a little box that's stuck in our large room, and we're sitting inside the little box.
But what I hear all of us talking right now, what I hear us talking about now is actually about awareness, consciousness. But there's actually a literal vibratory change that's going to happen, at least based on what I've learned from my 6 Andromeda Council contacts. Maybe we can use this moment as a segue to talk about vibrationally what's coming about a month from now on December 21, 2012. I can actually address it.
Good. And then when you're done, I'll address it from my viewpoint, because that's what the last 3 months have been for me, is this grasping to be able to articulate verbally. And I've been speaking about it on my show, Tolek, about that this is a shift in consciousness, that this is an event that is a shift of consciousness. And I've finally got some pieces to that over the last few days, so I'm going to be quiet now and let you share your viewpoint.
We are talking about vibration, and there is a sound that sounds like someone typing, but it may be, have you got a microphone, that something that is loose, Tolek?
No.
Or you're not typing, are you?
No.
All right.
I hear that, though, as well. Yeah. So, you know, for those that are listening or tapped into this call, have fun. We're just enjoying ourselves.
Yeah. Can you type a little quieter when you're making notes of what we're saying?
Is the, JP, do you have the chat room open? Because somebody may have microphones on while they're typing.
Oh, no, this is, no, this is definitely coming from your signal. But don't worry, I'm sure we'll be able to cope with it.
Wow. Very interesting. I'm going to make a point and address this topic. There were 3 interviews this summer that I had in a row, and we thought that an inconsistent typing sound was somebody in a chat room, and that their microphone was transmitting this, you know, the click, click.
All right. Yeah, so no, it sounds like somebody is typing when you're speaking. It's like you got a secretary who's typing everything that you...
No, I'm not saying a word. Now, interestingly enough, those 3 interviews, after the second one, I was able to discern, with help from the guys upstairs, that there was an interdimensional program that was installed to purposefully interrupt what I was going to say, to purposefully interrupt the content and the quality of the content of what I was sharing with people. And I had to have my Andromeda Council friends upstairs coordinate with some people interdimensionally to go out and remove it. And what we found was an 8-way interplexing interdimensional beacon that would trigger whenever I was doing these interviews, and Blog Talk and Skype got connected. And we had to, I didn't do the work, but the guys upstairs did. They had to interdimensionally disconnect and get rid of it. And they did. Because after the 3rd interview and we took care of the problem, it went away.
Interesting. Well, it's back.
Yeah, I mean, it was
it's back.
It was
anyway,
it was a deliberate means to try to disrupt the content of what I was saying.
Well, as I said, it's happening just now, but don't worry about it. I think since we know that it's there, then we can just zone it out and listen to the content of what you're saying, Tolek. So,
yeah. We can try something if you'd like. Yeah. We could disconnect me momentarily, and then you could reconnect me and see if that breaks the.
Okay. Trying that. Okay. And so while we disconnect and then reconnect, we will try that call again. Beep, 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 beep. I do love Skype. It's strange, but it's true. Tolek.
Okay, I am back. I don't know if it's any better.
It's like you got somebody typing. Look, it doesn't matter. Just imagine that we're sitting here and somebody's making notes, okay? And wow. It's like a translator.
Yes, they found me again.
There may be a mechanical fault in your headset. I don't know. But that's what it could be. But really does sound like someone typing.
these are professional quality headphones. So, yeah, I guess they found me again. All right. Here's what I've learned. I've always known that, always mean, and like at least within the past couple of years, that I've learned about a variety of changes that are coming to this planet. What I have learned conceptually is that as of December 21st, 2012, there will be an energetic change to this planet such that our ability to live within the construct of time and measure our lives by time will begin to go away as of 12/21/12. Now, here's why. And it's a short story. It won't take long, but you guys are aware of the fact that there is going to be an alignment of multiple planets on 21/12. You'll see that in space. There'll be an alignment of, I guess, 3 days when all of the planets are aligned. Well, with the alignment of those planets, there will be supercharged electromagnetic particles that will be flowing and interchanged between the planets during the 12/21 alignment that will be highly magnified. They will be supercharged and they will reach Earth and penetrate the crust of the Earth down to the core. At the actual moment of the alignment, it will cause the Earth to like pause for a moment. Now, keep in mind that at least what I've learned from my Andromeda Council contacts and their astrophysicists, their scientists, they maintain that the current core of the Earth is actually plasma. It's light blue in color, and it continually releases waves of energy outward toward the Earth's surface. It is not red hot molten lava or red hot molten iron, as most people believe. So back to the story. As the alignment of all these planets happen and the supercharged electromagnetic particles head toward Earth, penetrate Earth's crust and reach the core, they will increase the core's vibration and elevate it to anything beyond it's ever been before. And these particles are going to manifest a complete change, a complete transformation in the nature, the elemental nature of this plasma core. It will no longer be plasma. At the peak of the transformative moment, there's going to be a beautiful, brilliant, sparkling white light explosion, and a new energy form will be created at the core of the Earth. And as a result, these particles then will expand out from the center of the Earth outward into space. If there are people watching out in space from their ships, biospheres, would be able to look down and watch this happen, they would start to see a different planet, a planet that would be sparkling. Now, why is this unique? Well, it's unique because we now have a transformed core of the Earth. And as they've told to me, this is an extremely rare event. It's never been done this way before to a planet. According to the Andromeda Council scientists, their own records, what I'm talking about has happened many times before to stars as stars evolve and change, but never to a planet. In the language that the people on the primary Andromeda Council biosphere speak, they call this newly transformed core and this new source of energy SAR, S-A-R. And with this new transformed energy core, we'll no longer have waves of energy pulsing outward from a plasma core, but rather a continual release of these new SAR energy particles, and they'll be sparkling outward from the core of Earth out into space. And with the beginning of this process on 1221, and this brings us back to the point about time, this plasma core is what, at least from what they explained to me, is what created, I'm not a scientist, but is what created the mechanics for time on Earth. With that plasma core going away, the vibration of time will begin to go away. And no matter what Earth scientists will try to do, or other people that try to run society, as they try to institute kind of a fake time to keep society working and in sync, it's not going to work. Because time as we know it will perpetually diminish and go away into 2013, all throughout 2013, until the complete transformation of Earth to becoming a 4D vibrational planet in January 2014. And what we will have is the actual beginning of the end of an opaque 3D organic Earth, with this year-long transition period of 2013 into becoming a completely translucent 4D spirit vibration, fine essence, matter, Earth. And I'll close this description by saying, as an example, let's go forward and to like the year 2017, for example. Let's say that you had 3D people traveling in their 3D craft, say from the Pleiades, and they're approaching this newly reborn 4D Earth. What they would see would be very much like a crystal clear, sparkling, beautiful blue orb. A crystal clear orb with this bright blue glow. It would be completely translucent, completely clear, but with a blue hue and sparkling. This is all 3D people would see. People like you and I are today, third dimensional, organic. Comparatively, let's say that there were 4D people or 5D people traveling in their craft from Arcturus, already higher dimensional worlds. They would be approaching the new 4D Earth in the year 2017, and what they would see from a distance is a very brilliantly lighted planet. It would be sparkling. There'd be sparkles everywhere, covered in a bright glowing light. And this would kind of like be a layer. And once they got through that layer of bright light, they would see much like a HD or high def planet. They would have a very clear view of a reborn higher dimensional Earth, bright vibratory colors, and they would see oceans, land masses, mountains, rivers, streams. And to whatever degree there are communities and bright lights in those communities, they would see them as well. So these people would see land and water and community definitions. 4D people would see them. 3D people would not. That's the totality of the explanation for what's coming due to these highly supercharged particles as a result of the planetary alignment. And of course, affecting and transforming the core of the Earth from plasma to this new power source called SAR. We will not become a star. We will become a completely different, higher dimensional planet. First time ever. That's one of the reasons why this is unique. That's what I've learned. That's the totality of what I've learned about this subject in detail. And I'm certainly welcome to any comments or critique.
Wow. Well, so I see it like a glowing glass ball. Yeah. Like a crystal ball.
Crystal.
That you Right. So it becomes transparent to a 3D thing, but to us it still looks like Earth.
Well, keep in mind...
To us, you know, to somebody in a spaceship, like everybody gets to ride in spaceships, but...
Even if we had people that are 4D or 5D, the point of differentiation that I'm trying to make is that, and I'm going forward. Let's say we're looking at the year 2015 or 2016 or 2017. A third dimensional person that's organic in that year, looking at reborn Earth, they would see a crystal clear translucent orb, completely translucent. But a 4 or 5D person, like we will be, like there are other people who are living out there on other planets who are 4D and 5D people, they would see a different thing. Why? Because they're at the vibration of what our reborn Earth will be. They will see a bright planet. It will be bright, it will have light, but they will see the definition of the oceans and the land and the mountains and the lights and the communities. 3D people would not. Why? Because for the most part, 3D people can't see into the spiritual realm. What we're talking about is the manifest change of the organic nature of this planet to becoming a spirit nature planet. When you move from 3D organic vibration, organic roots, trees, dirt, mountains, blood, bones, organic. The level of 4D and up is the level of spirit, fine matter, essence. And so what I am talking about and what I have been taught is that this planet will go from being 3D organic to being a 4D life vibratory spirit essence world. And at the same time, the planet is changing. We too, the people, the animals, the plants, the trees, we will all also become 4D, higher vibratory spirit matter essence. That's the difference. Does that help?
Yep, that's becoming a little clearer. So what you're saying is that we all become spirit beings that... From the 3D perspective, appear just to be like a shadow or a movement in the air.
Right.
Like
right.
Predator. You know,
I would use swords.
Well, you know, in the Predator film, he was invisible, but if you look carefully, you could see that the distortion that was happening through, coming through his body.
Yeah. Yeah, like when he was cloaking.
Yes.
He was cloaked.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, because that's what they tried to do when they did the Philadelphia experiment, isn't it? So they were trying to raise the vibration of something so that it no longer is a particle and becomes a wave, and then that's when all the trouble happened. They didn't control the movement through the time space. But anyway, long story.
You make a good point there. You make a very good point. I learned that when I took my time travel trip back in the late summer of 93, as part of that process, I learned from my primary contact, who is the commander of the Andromeda Council Biosphere, I learned that in order for me to travel back in time, or anybody for that matter, you can't travel back in time as a 3D organic person. He had to raise my vibratory rate enough to at least to get it temporarily 4D. You can only travel through time if you're 4D and up, at least from a vibration perspective. And if you read or hear anything about the Philadelphia and Montauk, they talk about the fact that they had to reach a 4D vibration in order to make that happen. Mm. I think I've heard it mentioned at least once. And I'm certainly not an expert on those two topics, but pretty sure I've heard that. But suffice it to say, the commander told me, we got to move up your vibration. You can't travel as a 3D person through time. We have to change your vibration. I said, okay, sure. And off we went. Rebecca, any thoughts from you about anything that I've said? Does any of it resonate? Is any of it in sync with some of the things that you've picked up?
A lot of it is in sync with some of the of what you've said. Now, from my perspective, is a little different, obviously, because you deal with the A's. I deal with the Elohim, which is coming from a different perspective. But the agreement here for us, Tolik, is that the event itself, and they've been talking to me about this event a long time ago when people started bringing up this 2012, it's the end of the world, it's Armageddon, you know, all that stuff. The guides were very clear with me, going, it isn't what you think it is. So I began, okay, so what is it? What is all of these pieces that people have been talking about now for years? You know, they call it the second coming if you're, you know, a religious person, et cetera, and so forth. There's all these different pieces of humanity talking about this event. Everybody, I don't care what religion, non-religion, everybody across the globe is looking to this event. So we know that it's significant, or we wouldn't have the whole globe looking at it for 10 years before the event even happens. You just,
right.
It is a magnificent event. The event itself, and one of the agreements here is that this has never, ever happened before. This is a one-of-a-kind event.
Yes.
That this event is, for those of us who are here experiencing it, have agreed to be here, either witness it, to experience it, to grow from it, whatever, you know, the individual is here for, they're here because this event is so auspicious and has the potential to literally shift this planet and the people upon it in such a way that it's never, ever happened before, and nor will it ever happen again, because this will be the only time in the way that this is done that this will ever be done. Now, that doesn't mean that maybe some other galaxy, some other solar system, some other planet somewhere else may not be able to emulate this at some point, but that's not where we're at. We're talking about here right now. So I kept looking at this event going, I feel this wave coming. And with this wave coming, literally, the physical sensation and the pieces of information that have come to me have been so extraordinary, you know, that, you know, you have to sit back and kind of question, okay, what is it that, because they're conceptual. This is looking at things in a way that I've never been able to look at them before, in such a manner that you're like, okay. So I have to go and put that into some kind of semblance of understanding for my abilities and capabilities in the here and the now, and make some kind of sense out of what this event is. And it is a consciousness event. It literally is a consciousness event. And as I have viewed it, as they have shown me this picture where I'm actually in the heavens. I call it the heavens. I'm out in the cosmos, the atmosphere, whatever you want to call it. And I'm looking down at Earth at the event. The event itself kicks on this, it's like the lights come on, you know, so it's metaphoric. The lights come on. You can see the lights come on. It's like these, there are power points on this planet that some of our scientists, by the way, think that they're dead because they're laying dormant. They don't emit anything. Well, you know, those who planned this, that knew about this, you know, they knew that there would be what's going on in our world, that's what would be going on, be those that would try to usurp the power and control from the peoples. And so they laid a very well, carefully laid plan to where during this event that these quote-unquote dormant spots would become awakened. And they'd become awakened because of literally the new energetics that our science doesn't quite understand. They think they've got it. Theoretically, they've got it. But theory and practical application are two different things. So
right.
there is unseen, unknown energies that our scientists, even those in the black ops, even those that do all of this literal time travel and they've done all these experimentations, they don't totally understand it completely, these dormant spots. These dormant spots will become awakened, and it literally is like a spider webbing effect. One gets awakened, and it sends a signal to another spot, and that becomes awakened. And then there's this connection between those two spots, and then another one reaches out and it connects to somebody, some other spot, et cetera, and so forth. The whole planet becomes awakened. It's a lights are on kind of an event. That's what they've shown me.
Okay.
And the lights are on kind of an event is what we have to take advantage of, because it literally it changes the face of this planet from the inside out, because these dormant spots, so to speak, are below the ground. So I don't know how far below the ground. I don't go below the ground and look too often. I'm usually out in the cosmos. I'm in a different arena looking at this than you are. But this, their lights are on. The other thing is because somebody brought it up in the chat box, I want to address it and then let you address it too. There's been this idea, and it keeps coming and going, about the 3 days of darkness. Well, I've been looking at that a lot over the past few months, this 3 days of darkness. What does that represent? I just don't know that the planet is going to be plunged in darkness for the 3 days. I do sense something is different, and this is why it will be different, because it's not going to be like you wake up one day and it's going to be just the same as any other day, because it's not going to be. When we literally hit that galactic center, is when the majority of that pulse, so to speak, will arrive upon the planet, right? And it just expounds itself. The energetics just expound itself. But the 3 days of darkness, if you look at the cosmological events that are going on out there, we have a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse. One day we have one, and one day we have the next. And for some people around the planet, it's going to appear that, especially if it's a solar eclipse, that it's going to be a day of darkness. And it could extend itself to maybe a longer degree than normal. And then the lunar eclipse, well, if you have a full moon, then it goes into the darkness as it goes through the eclipse. I think right. I think it's old terminology that people are misapplying to the 3 days of darkness, because I don't see that. But I do see what I would call, and I think the event itself is like a reset. I think a reset button has been set, but this reset button isn't to take it back to where it was. This reset button is a reset button to kick in to another level. It's like using your food processor on one, and then you kick it in and you reset it and go back to five. You go up to five. You know, sure. It's a reset button, and it resets the individual as well. You know, the guides for me look at it from what happens to the human, to the individual, to the human components here. What happens to them during this event, prior to and after the event? So it's not that I disagree at all with what you're saying. I'm just saying that I have a different perspective, because it comes at me from a different view, literally. The view I look at is different than the view that you get. But it is a planetary thing. Now, I just put into the chat box a very interesting, you know, you were talking about manifestation. A little piece that I found on the internet that somebody posted about a Mayan elder, or a Mayan, and he was talking about this event. And he was talking about what our scientists are trying to do to prevent. They know that it's a wave of consciousness. And what they're telling people to do and how to enhance, because at its peak it only lasts 8 minutes. Now, you have the effects while it's going into the galactic center and as it exits out of that galactic center. So you have a couple of days before, then it reaches its peak, and then you have a couple of days after as it goes, you know, moves out of the galactic center, right? Right. So right. This Mayan is telling people how to take advantage of that 8 minutes of peak time, which is the extreme kick in, which I think is when I was listening to you, what they were showing me was that this energetic ball, or this energetics that come in is at that peak time, that
right,
8 minutes.
Right, that moment, and, that apex, that moment of transformation. Yes.
Yes. And it's 8 minutes in duration. Now, what they're saying is that it needs to be amplified by the humans as well in order to create a quote-unquote permanent change in the human consciousness. Now, what I'm – and maybe I got you wrong there, but I hear this about the planet. Do you talk to yours, contacts about what happens to the humans as they're experiencing this? Or is it simply the scientific aspect in regards to the event itself?
There are a few answers here, so I'll take them one at a time. I want to go back. Yeah, I'd like to go back and touch on the concept of underground spots, vortexes. Portals, maybe. I don't know what the right word would be, but if we think about the accuracy of ley lines and the validity of energy that moves around the planet, there's a gentleman who goes by the YouTube name of L911, and he's done extensive work on the 188-day cycles of why major earthquakes happen on the ley lines around the planet. The planet is in fact connected. And so to look at this topic of ley lines and energies, what we will be having is, if you will, the ley lines acting as conduits to allow the energy to flow as it continues to get bumped up from the third vibration. The vibration of the third dimension moving upward toward the vibration of the fourth dimension of the vibration of spirit. Now, to address your question specifically, we are talking not only about a wholesale vibratory life change of this planet, but all life forms on it. And that includes the transformation of the human, so that when human and Hugh woman becomes a fourth dimensional person, we will have, as part of our natural gifts and abilities, clairsentience, clairaudience, complete telepathy. As a fourth dimensional vibratory person, January of 2014, when the switch is thrown,
right.
The final moment of 3D to 4D happens in the blink of an eye. People will cease to be 3D people, and they will transform into becoming 4D people with all of the natural gifts and abilities of a 4D person that I just mentioned. Clairsentience, clairaudience, kind of all knowing. You are able to sense what a person is thinking. It may not be appropriate to probe and wonder what that person's thinking in his private thoughts, but people will be able to do that. Of course, new protocols are going to have to be set for people so that we can come to understand how to respect other people's private space in their minds, in their emotions. But these are going to be all manifestations of what it will be like to be a fourth dimensional human. I've written a couple papers on that. People can read about it if they go to the Andromeda Council website, but I go into great detail about what it will be like to live as a fourth dimensional human. So the summary is, yes, not only is the planet transforming, but those people who are here, we will all transform into becoming approximately mid 4D. If there are a number of layers or levels of fourth dimensional vibration and evolvement, We're gonna trigger right away to about the mid level of the fourth. That's what I've learned. Whether you call it the fifth or sixth layer, I'm not sure, but mid level.
Okay. Well, so the ley lines, and this is what they've been talking to me about on to address that for you for a minute is the ley lines.
Sure.
Our planet has very specific ley lines. We know that and, you know, none of this is a secret. It's not like, you know, some big revelation here when we know that, you know, like the Vatican itself and some of the other temples and holy places, quote unquote, to use other people's terminologies, are built on sacred, sacred ground, which is power points, shall we call them?
Yes.
You know, places of power. And of course, they're, they've, the, energy is being, corrupted. But what they have shown me is that there are also ley lines that have not been able to, identify. That they lay dormant, literally. And the only thing that will awaken these ley lines, these other natural ley lines, is the event itself. That they become awakened. And
yes.
I think, with listening to what you're saying, is it's because they're a different energetic. And that's the reason why, and without them being awake, you can't utilize them, you can't find them, you can't see them.
Yeah,
I believe them.
I believe that the based on what I've been taught, the nature of this energy coming through space, interacting with these planets, penetrating the crust and going to the core of the Earth, that the transformation of the core, and I know this is contradictory to contemporary science speculates and sometimes stipulates that the core is red hot molten iron. The Andromeda Council scientists that I talk to say, no, 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 it's blue plasma. But in any case, the point that I'm trying to make is that this energy on 1221 will change the nature of our core such that the core will now manifest completely different energy at a completely different vibration, which addresses what you're talking about, which is the triggering of these points along the Earth, along the ley
right.
lines. They will stop, pop, like bang, 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 and they will,
right.
based on what I've learned, they will pop all throughout 2013 as the planet progressively raises in vibration. That's what I've been taught. But it's all these perspectives weave into each other, and they make sense. They all have validity.
Oh, for real. Absolutely. You know, another thing that came across in the last few days, is, and I want to express it, which is about what happens with a human. And my understanding is that even on this planet, when this wave, after this wave hits, right, that those that are transformed by this wave, because there'll be some that are not transformed. It will not work with their energetics. It will not work with their physiology. It will not work with, for whatever reason, it won't work. It just won't work. There's not everybody's going, everyone's going to go along for the ride, but not everyone will obtain the same results.
True.
Matter of fact, it'll be very just it is individualized, but we're talking kind of in generalities here now.
Right.
But those that do not go along for the ride, that are not going to be participants in the exchange of energy, shall we say, or the, you know, plugging into the new kind of grid system, they're going to be experiencing life just like we're experiencing life now, in a sense. Their world isn't going to change much, but what I understand from the humans' viewpoint, those that are reaching higher levels of consciousness, shall we say, will remember, they could be loved ones, they could be your next door neighbor, you know, could be friends, whatever, that what happens during the transition is that, yes, you will remember them, but then as time, quote unquote, goes by, they become like a fond memory. And it's like any other memory. Yeah, I used to know them. Yeah, I remember them. I remember them. But you don't remember them in the same way if you shared the same kind of energetic physicality with them.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, it's. I think that part of it is much like, I think we've all, during the course of our adult lives, gotten to a point where we say to some friends that we may have had for years but not stayed in touch with, and we all know the reasons why. You either purposely stop it or you don't expend any more energy in that friendship because your own life path has gotten to the point where it's evolved beyond, way beyond where they're capable of understanding.
Sure.
You know, they don't have the capability. And moreover, some of them, they're just busy with their lives. Mom, dad, two kids, mortgage, you know, equity line of credit payment, they're in debt. There are a lot of people who don't have the energy to invest in looking at this information. And they're like, I got to pay my bills. I got to pay my mortgage. I don't have time to think of this stuff.
Right, and, exactly.
So.
Hi, JP.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome to Ever Beyond.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say this is Wolf Spirit Radio. This is Ever Beyond on everbeyond.info. We are completely listener supported. We don't have commercials, as you've noticed. We don't have idents flying all over the place. So if you can find a donate button on either wolfspiritradio.com or everbeyond.info, that will help us to help you to pay for the archive disk space. We've got an amazing archive of shows that have gone back several years. We've got Rebecca's shows that go back many years, and they're all available free online right at the moment. And you can get those at wolfspiritradio.com's archives page. If you can put some pennies in the coffers, that will help everything pay for those servers that that allow you to download for free. So, having said that, I've got a couple of little clips that we made from some previous interviews, some cutting room floor material that is not actually... it's not rubbish, it's very good stuff. We just didn't have time for it. So I've got a couple of clips of that, and then we have Thomas Hughes, who would like to join us. We'll bring him in at about the top of the hour. And we've also got going to have questions coming in. We've got very lively chat room. If you are in the chat room... if you have questions, please type them in uppercase so that I can see them, and then we can ask those questions of Rebecca or Tolek. You could direct your question to a particular speaker as well. There is a lot of information about what we're talking about already out there on the web. I'd really like to go into greater kind of... rather than drill down on details. But there is one detail that has been coming up in all of the questions as I've been seeing them coming by is, okay, so the guys, he's saying 8 minutes, right? There's going to be 8 minutes at some point. 8 minutes. What is that point? Do we know what point that is? Is that the 11-11 lineup of Sagittarius A and Hunabku and the Earth and the Sun? Who can answer that question?
Well, in his video, he states that the pinnacle is no different than when we have a full moon. So the moon is actually only full, completely full, for approximately 8 minutes.
Yeah.
That was his analogy. That was his comparison. So he's absolutely right. Just like when you watch an eclipse, it takes a while before that eclipse becomes a full eclipse, and then it stays in that spot for approximately 8 minutes to your perspective, right? And then it begins. You begin to start seeing either the sun or the moon coming back out, so to speak, from whatever the eclipse was. So it even though the 21st, and I actually just so everyone's clear, I have Nancy Ogren coming on next week. We're actually going to be talking about the specificity of that according to people around different spots of the globe. So we're going to be giving out that 8-minute window in a general idea, at least in different portions of the continent.
So it's a potential moving time. Does that mean that it's that it's happening
well,
at
my
time?
8 minutes is going to be different than your 8 minutes because we're 6-8 hours apart. So even though it hits, it's still got to move around the planet. It doesn't envelop the planet all at one time.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to move. So you're going to have 8 minutes of that no matter where you're at. And I would, you know, guesstimate that it's going to be feeling different for people. It depends on, you know, I guess where you're lined up, what time of the day that is, what portion he's talking about it hitting in the lower. So I don't know if this is a latitude or longitude kind of a thing. I really have to do a little bit more research on what he's saying. But he's saying that it's going to hit like our lower southern 50 states here in the United States as well as Mexico as being a kind of a focal point of, I guess, right. Its beginning. I don't know for sure. I have to go back and listen to it again. And again, he's just another individual that's bringing forth some information. If it resonates, great. If we can do some research, great. You know, come up with some other theories, some other ideas. I'm all for it.
Totally. I if I may just address this for a moment, I think the bottom line to the when of this topic is not the exact when is not so much important. It really isn't. It's the fact that, like any other rat in life, typically anything we do, it's always a sine wave or a bell curve. You start at the bottom somewhere, you rise to the crest, it peaks, and then it falls off. That's a natural course of action in almost any decision-making process or things that we experience. So let's say that the totality of this wave experience is 12 segments long, as an example. Well, the middle is going to be 6. And so the important thing is that it is going to happen. That's the important thing. There will be highly charged, supercharged electromagnetic particles that will penetrate the Earth's crust and reach the core and spark a whole bunch of things to happen from a dimensional and consciousness standpoint. It's going to happen. It doesn't really matter exactly where you are or or when. It's going to happen. And that's my humble opinion.
Okay, so we're coming up to hang on. I got different times on my two computers. I just realized that one of them's 2 minutes out from the other. Maybe this is the one. Anyway, long story.
Uh-huh.
All right, because they face each other, and one of them is Pacific time, and the other one is UK time, because I am in the UK. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. We're being broadcast from Northern Scotland. We also broadcast from Ontario, Canada, and Pahrump, Nevada. So we're just about to come up. So what I'd like to do is play a little tune and give everybody a chance to refresh your cups of tea and other body parts that require it. And we'll reconvene this roundtable in about 5 to 6 minutes. Is that okay with everybody?
Sure.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. So...
You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
This is Rebecca Jernigan. Join me for Tarot, the Intuitive Approach Workshop. It's a weekend, 2 days, November 10th and 11th. Now, this workshop will provide a space for exploration into the vast world of the Tarot. It's not just a tool for readings. It also takes you into the metaphysical, quantum, collective conscious, unified field, and so much more. It allows for expansions into your own tools and gifts, tapping into a remembering that becomes a part of your reality and understanding. This will be a limited seating event. You can now get a copy of the book, Tarot, the Intuitive Approach, without the need of a Kindle. So check it out and save your place. So log on to journeyswithrebecca.com. Click on the classes tab for a full description of this fantastic 2-day workshop. Again, that's journeyswithrebecca.com.
to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond.
Five, four, three, two, one. We have liftoff.
Becca, if you remember in the information that I've shared over the years, or maybe you don't know this, but the A's have said that a particular group soul known as the Patal fell out of eternity into time. And their journey was into third density to help it move along so that the entire galaxy can evolve.
Yep.
Whoever those beings are, the Patal, they've carried all this knowledge with them here. Yeah. So they've only added to the mix of knowledge. It's just a question of being able to quiet oneself and, allow our minds to tap into this type of information. It does. For example, science, when they talk about dead stars, we have no consciousness that it may be dead to us, but that doesn't mean that life forms could not grow on it after it's dead. And that is, in fact, the case. It may die as far as giving out light and energy, but it doesn't mean it's actually dead, dead, dead. Other life forms then have a place that they can grow, and they in fact do. Other life forms flourish or come out of, for example, a dead sun. And one of the adventures that Captain Dinar and his team have is being confronted by some of these life forms that grew, that evolved from a star that's dead. And this is like what has really happened, you know? So it's just amazing. There's never, ever nothing going on. It really doesn't matter where you look, there is never nothing going on.
And welcome back to Ever Beyond. Yes, and those are words from the man himself. A couple of cutting room floor fragments that I thought you'd find rather succulent and delicious to nibble on during the break. So, welcome back. I'm speaking with Tolek from the Andromedan Council and with Rebecca Jernigan, channeler of the Elohim, and I'm about to bring in Mr. Thomas Hughes, who represents the hairy people of Earth. Thomas, where are you? I hope you've turned up. I hope you've muted your mic. Are you muted your mic, Thomas?
Yes.
Good man.
There he is.
Greetings and welcome to the second hour of Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. I have to keep mentioning Wolf Spirit Radio. We are please hit the donate button wherever you are. Find the donate button and hit it, and put some pennies in the coffers. We're totally skint. Everybody's skint. This is part of the reason that we're asking for donations. We know everybody's got little, and just giving a little bit to somebody that you like is better than giving all of it to your tax man, isn't it? I'd rather pay my friends than the tax man. So, Thomas, you have something to add.
Yeah, at the 3 days of darkness, the things that were conveyed to me, and this is the easiest way I can explain it, it's kind of like when you're watching a movie on a DVD player and you hit the pause button. The actors that are in that movie don't realize that you've hit the pause button. And you're doing things while you've got it on pause, going to the restroom or going to fill up your drink glass or to check on a couple of things, do something, stretch your legs, whatever the case may be. You do a bunch of things while you've got the movie paused. So you're making adjustments. And the way you're living your life at that moment. And then when you sit back down, you press the play button, and the movie picks up exactly where you hit the pause button in. And nobody in that film realized it. So what was explained to me in the simplest terms possible is that what a lot of us, I don't know if it's all of us, but a lot of us will experience them hitting the pause button, making all the adjustments, and then they'll hit the play button, and everybody will start moving again. The difference is we're not in a Hollywood movie, so we will notice the differences when the play button is hit, but it'll be after they hit the play button. How does that sound, Tolik and Rebecca?
Interesting perspective. I certainly get the metaphor. It makes a lot of sense. I'm sure that there will be, kind of like in a car, there are going to be shift points. And every time you shift the car, there's a pause. So that's a good analogy as well. But I think that part of what will be going on is the fact that I think, like Rebecca was mentioning, there are going to be different eclipses going on. So will there be moments of no sunshine because of eclipses? Sure there will be. Will we have 3 days of darkness? Guys upstairs have told me, absolutely not. It's not going to happen that way at all. Just moments and pauses of daylight with re-emerging daylight again. That's simple take, but that's my take on it.
Well, let me reframe the 3 days of darkness piece of information is that what is darkness? Are we, you know, again, all of this stuff comes down through the ages and then it's kind of presented to us and or somewhere in our Akashic records or our guides or somebody brings it up about the 3 days of darkness. What if it too is a metaphor that the 3 days of darkness is not a constant darkness, but you are understanding what the darkness is. In other words, the lack of consciousness. What if it's something like that as well? I'm thinking maybe we're all right here, is what I'm thinking, because we've got timeline convergences going on top of all of this.
True.
So I'm thinking that it may not just be a singular expression here, that we're all going to experience it and it's all going to happen in the same way, because we all vibrate differently. Tolik and Thomas and JP, myself and all the listeners out there, we're all extremely individual. And what one person feels, the other may not. Maybe there's some similarities between two or three people. But I suspect that whatever the occurrence is that as a generality, we know that there is a shift in consciousness. We know this energy wave is coming in. And after that, I'm not sure if it can be defined in such a way that it can be expressed that, oh, we're going to have this specifically and that specifically, and this is what you're going to witness or not going to witness. I'm not sure. Because of the timelines. What perspective are you coming at it from? Where, you know, what's that person's beliefs up to that minute? You know, you can have literally a manifestation in front of somebody of a spirit being, and they will dismiss it as nothing.
That's true.
You see? Yeah. You see? So it's like, well, okay, so it didn't work on them. Let's move to the next one.
Right.
So that's my understanding. Well, and I want to just go back for just a minute, Thomas. I'm going to let you communicate here, because I always love hearing you as well. When we talked about that 8 minutes, Tolik, and you were saying, you know, not to focus on that. This was coming from the gentleman's perspective, the Mayan, of the 8 minutes. And he's talking about for the days before and the days after is for people to do this, gather in these small groups to meditate and to do this specific exercise in order to enhance the energies coming in. And he's talking about the pinnacle as being just the idea, the expression that the pinnacle in itself is only 8 minutes. That
yes,
before,
yes,
during, and after. So it's not just about focusing on those 8 minutes. The 8 minutes are going to be the pinnacle of the event. But it we're in it before, just like we talked about the moon going full. It takes days before we literally, quote unquote, see that full moon. And it takes days before it goes back into that space where we can't see it again. So this is what it's an event that takes place over a period of approximately 3 days, which it reaches its pinnacle, he said, somewhere in the middle of that.
Okay.
So that's all that was for. So I want to make it also clear to the audience so that they're not just waiting for those 8 minutes. No, folks, you know, that's not what this is about. It's about recognizing the days leading up to, the during, and after as well. They're just as important because that energy is at its peak and highest. Okay. I just wanted to make mention of that.
Okay. Sure. JP, do you have any other topics that people want to explore that we ought to voice and consider?
Well, that's interesting. Well, one of them is... Finish your point, Thomas. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to add to what Rebecca is saying. What that guy was saying, and we all take different things away from when someone is speaking, and what I really caught from him is that through the particle accelerators they have on this planet, they're going to use the particle accelerator, the energy from that, and try to direct that energy from their particle accelerator down into the magma portion of the Earth so that it excites the magma and makes it break out all over the surface. He said what they don't realize is that they're spending millions of dollars and we're spending less than $1,000 and making use of the particle decelerators that we already have in place, because our pyramids all over the planet are particle decelerators. We're going to absorb that energy that they're putting out with their technology, and it's not going to work. And that was what I caught from that conference with him.
Yeah. I didn't even get into that, but you're absolutely right, Thomas. That was another portion of it I found really fascinating. I was loving it, by the way. I thought that was very interesting, because the first thing that Tolik comes on, he starts talking about science, and here we are bringing it back to science again. So, you know, nature is science. It's fascinating.
What else he said that I found intriguing, because it's been done so insidiously, is that they need a liquid metal to make this work. And mercury is a liquid metal, and they have mercury all over North America in the form of spiral light bulbs that everybody's using to lower their electrical cost. Now they've got all this mercury all over the place that they can use for their attempt, what they're going to do. And who said that? Yes, my last name is Hughes, and yes, I am huge, so... Thank you. Sorry, that was a bad joke. But anyway, somebody asked it in the chat room. So
Tom, 2575. Watch out.
Okay, all right. I was answering a question. I was just answering a question. That's all. I'm sorry. But I found that very interesting. And the Mayan woman that I was connected with last month, her and I have corroborated on some very, very much the same thing, because she asked me. I think it was right towards the end of October, if I noticed anything different. And I said, with the energy coming in, she said, yes. I said, as I understand it, there are portals that have opened on the planet that are not closing. They're being permanently left open. And she said, good, you picked up on that as well. I said, yeah, we're changing the energy of the planet. That's why these portals have been left open, because they're filtering energy all over the planet to help quicken or speed up that vibration that we're all changing into. Because it's not about higher or lower. We talk about it that way, but it's simply faster. It's a faster vibration.
Right, and right.
That's what's occurring.
Yeah.
Those portals all over the planet. Yeah.
Good description, Tom.
Sorry if I was so long-winded on that, but I just wanted to sneak that in there, JP, and thank you for letting me do that.
You're welcome. It's interesting, the whole mercury business. Because not only that, our heads are full of the stuff.
Oh, yeah, the teeth. But here, I got an idea for everyone. Go in and buy, replace all of those little squirrely lights, and everybody go back to incandescent lights. You know, they have a warning label on those fluorescent-like lights that they've been selling to everybody about not breaking them, because the gas is coming out of there. can be lethal or harmful. And I'm thinking to myself, oh yeah, I want to put one of those in my house, as clumsy as I am, and I drop it, and then I have to go and get, you know, somebody to fumigate my house, or, you know, go into a hazmat suit to change my light bulb. So if you can find incandescent bulbs, the regular light bulbs, then I would suggest everybody going back to them. And if you can't find them in your store, you write to GE or whoever it is and tell them to start supplying them, that you don't want to buy that product anymore. It's insidious, and you're right, Thomas.
And that's why they put them in our schools and supermarkets. And, you know, the regular fluorescent tubes are the same. They have mercury vapor in them as well. It's not like the little spirally ones are any different from the long straight ones. They're the same thing. So essentially you're looking at the same technology but kind of folded up. So, right. You know, there's mercury everywhere. What does the guy say we need to do, Thomas?
Well, he says to keep our intentions focused on what we're trying to do, because at the end of that video, he said something very funny to me, because he said the true ascension, or what we're really focusing on here, is consciousness. That's our awareness of things and how we do things. It's not going to be that our body changes so much, or he didn't allude to that. He simply alluded to our consciousness and our awareness changing. And so what he said, but that was so funny, at the end of that, he said, so, if you wake up tomorrow, wake up the day after, all this goes on, and you still have a need for money, you haven't gone anywhere.
Mm. Mm.
I just found that kind of humorous.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, you're coming, your batting average is getting better.
Well, thank you.
So, So here's the thing. We've got loads of people in the chat room, absolutely dozens. It's great. Now, I'd like to welcome everybody to the Ever Beyond chat room and to the Wall Spirit Radio chat room. If you wish to ask questions, now is the time to start putting those in, and just not to shout stuff. All right.
I'm putting the link to the video in the Skype chat here, so if you could put it in the other chat room, so that if anybody would like to, it's only like,
is this the Mayan 30 one,
minutes long?
20 minutes long, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll it's the Mayan guy that was talking about what's going to happen and what they're doing to prepare for it.
Yeah. Okay. I'll post that in. So, the next question that is being repeated in the chat room is Project Bluebeam, a.k.a. the false alien landing, a.k.a. the fake second coming, a.k.a. some other BS. What's the deal? Tolek, what have your people told you about that?
Okay. I'll try to stick to the short version. They're already here. That's exactly why it will be a fake landing. Nobody's landing anywhere. They may have some ships that they've had down on the planet's surface for a while. They've been here because they've been part of the reptilian superstructure of the Cabal and Illuminati. These will be re-engineered reptilians that, in essence, look human. And they're going to make all sorts of promises they have no intention of keeping. I've spent a lot of time talking to the A's about it, and they said this thing has to play out. They're going to try to fool and deceive as many people as possible in order to take them with them. Their whole game is feed off of people and capture their totality, the physical essence of people, their souls, as much as they can, because in the end, even the reptilians know that their time is up on this planet, because the vibration, at least based on everything I've been taught by the Andromeda Council, that the vibration of this planet is changing. They won't be able to tolerate the higher vibration of the planet. And so therefore, This is the last desperate attempt at a power grab. That's all it is, and that's all it's going to be. And I will say they're not going to be able to get away with it. I know they won't be able to get away with it because of certain things that will happen after.
And there was another sort of related question, and this was about like the World War III scenario and the, you know, the atomic war and the attack from Russia on America, the surprise attack that happens on some timelines. Do we have any confirmation that, you know, which is what everybody's been asking, is like, they won't let atomic bombs go off, will they? Kind of thing.
I know categorically that they've already stopped at least some of the affiliated planets of the Andromeda Council, including Procyon, have already stopped a number of nuclear missiles from being launched. They've either disabled them, disarmed them, made them disappear. I know that they took care of two 500 megaton missiles that were in submarines that were attempted to be launched, made those go away. So they've stopped an attempted third war using nuclear missiles a number of times. And you're right, they're not going to allow it. They're not going to allow it. The planet is at too fragile of a stage in its evolutionary process, especially right now.
Excellent. Thank you. More questions. My question is, how can I meet one? Which is a very, very interesting subject. You know, a lot of people are now talking about CE5, the contact. What is it? Oh God, that's gone out of my mind. CE, contacts with extraterrestrials protocol version 5. Close encounters of the fifth kind. CE5, that's it. Where you meet them, and there's a protocol that's being put out on the web, which is like, you know, how you do it. This is the way that Stephen Greer did it. Everybody wants to meet extraterrestrials. Nobody wants to meet lizards. How do we do this safely? Because they do want to walk among us, and they do want to be invited in, don't they? How do we invite them in, Tulloch?
Right now, and all I can do is I can address two periods of time. I can talk about right now, and I can talk about in the future, based on what my contacts with the Andromeda Council are telling me. And I want to reiterate, this is only one perspective. It's my perspective as somebody who's receiving information in visions through snapshot imagery and through telepathy. That's how I receive this information. It's direct from them. As of today, for the most part, it doesn't work when people try to reach out and go to them. Typically, people that are benevolent ETs, they will reach out to you, and they'll do it in the dream state. They'll do it with snapshot images, like in your mind's eye. Whether you're awake or asleep, you'll have these images, and they'll communicate with you, maybe not necessarily telepathy, but through a variety of dreams. It's usually from them to you. And they're only able to do that because from an energetic perspective, they're able to sense that certain people, certain souls are ready. Not everybody's ready. So that's how it's happening today. Another perspective is that there are certainly people who are extraterrestrial that are of human DNA, human genetics, and or humanoids that are walking around on this planet today. And they're doing some good work, and they're already helping. The third perspective is the one in the future. And I know I've talked about this before, but the short version is sometime after this fake UFO, fake benevolent good guy ETs have showed up, the ones that are really reptilians, after that whole scenario has played itself out, and it's safe for the people of Earth. It finally becomes safe for the people of Earth to express themselves, make choices. The changes are happening. The people from the Andromeda Council will come here. First, it will be Ambassador Tanka, Diplomat Maka, Vice Chairwoman Tanya, and immediately following them, people from four Andromeda Council planets will be traveling the globe openly and meeting with people in a variety of different countries. Very informally, very, very informally. Parks, you know, think of public parks, think of places where people would get together to do walks, fields, private universities. This will happen. It will happen. So in relatively short time, and, you know, I'm not going to say it's going to happen this month or next month, but within months after this whole reptilian fake ET landing thing plays itself out and it becomes safe for Earth people, they will be able to have an opportunity to meet with people from the Andromeda Council, and the conversations will be about, here's what your planet is going through. This is what you are experiencing as people. This is where you've come from. You know, predominantly you've come from these star systems. This is where you're going. Kind of just sharing with people what our past, our present, and our future is going to be like as we become a fourth dimensional world. And it's, so those topics will all be on the table, and people will be able to ask and get answers to whatever questions they have directly from people from the Andromeda Council. And again, this is after the whole fake UFO ET landing thing happens.
So with regard to that, and this is a question from the chat room, is will the fake alien presence take place before 21st of December?
I honestly don't know. I don't know.
Because we're running out of time. It's like 6 weeks away.
Yep.
It's really exciting, isn't it? Is it? We're six weeks away. From this moment that people have been waiting thousands of years for.
Amazing. Yeah, it is
so
exciting.
We have a caller. Let's see what the caller says. Greetings, caller. Would you say what your name is?
James Mulligan.
Hello. Do you have a question?
Hello. Yeah, I would like to ask Paul the question.
Yes, would you like to ask your question, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to ask him if what he is saying is what he was talking about the CE5, saying that those who are interested in doing it or have done it, what he's saying is that they are not actually having contact or interaction with benevolent ETs or ETs at all.
Could you frame that as a question, possibly?
Do you want me to cut it down a little bit?
Well, frame it as a question, you know, like...
Okay, alright, how can I say that?
It's
fair,
like,
enough.
Like a what or a who or a how kind of thing.
Are you saying that Dr. Greer is... offering something that is... That's not a good question.
Maybe I can anticipate the kind of question you're asking.
What I'm
sharing with you is what the people from the Andromeda Council have promised to do and have committed to doing, which is sometime after this highly, highly problematic and disruptive fake UFO ET landing event.
Yeah.
The people.
Oh, this is Paul right now. I'm sorry. I didn't know that was you.
I'm speaking. Yeah. Sometime after that problematic event comes to completion, and those problematic ETs, reptilian based, go away, and it's safe for the people of Earth, people of the Andromeda Council will be visiting all over Earth, in the U.S., in Canada, in 30-some-odd countries. As a matter of fact, I already have communication with, at least 27 countries that we've already made arrangements for people to go and meet. What I have to do is let them know when the people of the Andromeda Council will be arriving, but we've already got 27 plus countries that are lined up ready to go. And they're in formal places. Like I said, the parks, private universities, other places where they can have these family get-togethers and just simply stand there and talk with the people in the Andromeda Council. That will likely happen sometime in 2013, based on what I've been learning today. Does that help answer the question?
Yeah, it does. Tolik, I've been following you and your site, the Andromeda Council, for say 6-7 months, and what you put on there in regards to how they're going to go about the landings and the informal landings, you put up specific locations like the Midwest in the beginning, and then travel like across America first, and then from America to other places.
Right.
Is that still going to be you know the protocol, or has that changed?
Well, the answer has two parts. For people that aren't familiar with this information, they can go to the contact page of the Andromeda Council website, and they'll see the contact schedule.
That's the one I'm referring to. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so, A, that schedule is still in place. B, when they start visiting with people, yes, it will happen within the continental U.S. first, and then Canada, and then all of the other countries that are on that schedule, including a few that aren't on that schedule today. So, yeah, it'll pretty much hold the schedule the way that it's going to roll out. It's just going to happen in a lot faster time frame.
Yeah, it would happen, yeah. Can I share something with you, please?
Let me defer to JP.
We've got quite a few questions tonight. Maybe you could send an email or something like that to carry on the conversation, if you like. But
okay, I appreciate the time.
Thank you for calling in.
I'd like to ask one more question of Tolik, if you don't mind, JP.
Okay, and so let me just deal with the call here. There we go. Thank you very much. Please ask questions in the chat room in uppercase and try and phrase it as a question rather than a statement. And so we're trying to keep it focused. But anyway, there's lots and lots of questions coming in, and we have lots. So, Thomas.
Hi, Tom.
Yeah, I was going to ask Tolik, did you see we're on True TV? They broadcast it around the world. They did a show with Kerry Cassidy and Bill Ryan, and Bob Dean was even on there, where they started spoon feeding what has been covered up by NASA for so long, and the doctoring of the photos on Mars and so forth and so on. Have you heard about that or seen that? It was broadcast on November 7th.
I haven't seen it. I haven't talked to Bob in a couple of months, but I'm not surprised. I mean, the concept of, and I'm not sure it's named this anymore, but it used to be called the U.S. Space Command. That concept goes back, it goes back at least 7 to 8 years. Bob's known about it for a while, but NASA certainly never made it public. They're sort of, I use a little bit of ad hoc French, bastards. NASA is sort of like the bastard stepchild. It's the public relations agency, if you will, that the government shows the people. But the real action is happening with the whatever the U.S. Space Command is called today. And it's no surprise at all that NASA's been doctoring photos. Yeah, I've heard that for years.
Okay, I put the link in the Skype chat, so JP, if you'd like to put it over in the other chat room. And one of the things that was surprising to me, they conclusively showed everyone time and again how triangular spaceships are in the U.S. Space Command, that they're spaceships we already have. They're not alien UFOs. They're our own UFOs. They were showing that in that documentary. I put the link in there for us. So I just thought I would throw that out there, and you can watch it at your leisure.
Well, and that's, you raise a good point, because this also ties into the whole topic of You know, why are they, whoever the they is, why are they going to let them land? How can they do this to us? That's my whole point. This, whether you call it Project Bluebeam or a fake landing, people, they're already here. They've been here for years. They work in the back rooms of high-level corporations. They look human, but they're not. They've taken technologies. There are military operations that have been re-engineering and reproducing UFO scout craft, other kind of craft, for years from aliens. The, as people call them, the aliens, these fake aliens that are going to land, they're already here on the planet. And so they're just going to show up. It's going to be, oh, here's a good example. The news, media, television programs, movies, they've been releasing the concept of UFOs, but more importantly, aliens and aliens attacking Earth and surviving aliens attacking Earth. They've been releasing this concept for years. So this is just another way for the powers that be to try to retain control. They're just going to bring them out from the dark and go, here's our ships. We're coming to save the Earth and the human people. Big lie. If they're promising to save people, if they're talking like they're of the light and we're humans just like you are, that's redundant. They don't have to say that. They shouldn't have anything to prove. These are reptilians that are already here, that have been re-engineered to look like humans, and they've been in the back rooms of power for years on this planet. And it will play out, and they're going to fail. They are going to fail. They're going to fail. I can't say it loud enough, but they will. It's just going to fall apart. People are going to figure it out.
Okay.
Mostly because of the broken promises and the lies.
Right. So I'm going to speak on that for just a minute. First of all, Tolik, I couldn't agree with you more. And here is the information that I've been sharing with my audience for years. You know, if you see a ship come down and beings come out and they say, we're here to save you, run fast, run in the other direction, because there is no one here to quote unquote save you. And I've also said they walk amongst us. I was given a very specific manifestation from a being that showed itself to me and showed me how to tell what different beings are, how you can by their energetic field, if they're human or if they are carrying a cloaking or masking or have been in any way altered to appear human. There is very real ways of using your sensory perceptions, which everyone has been asked to do, has been asked to get into that space of that feeling space, that resonance space. What feels right? Quit looking through your regular eyes and get into the internal self. What is that telling you? If your mind is you know, blowing up because somebody's standing in front of you and it's screaming, there's probably something wrong with that picture.
Right.
There's
right.
You just have to figure out how to use your discernment, how to tap into that. It is the natural innate ability of the human being.
Absolutely.
And we have to get past all of this constructed stuff. And I'm going to tell you, they walk amongst us. I have went into banks before where I do business. Now, figure that out, right? A bank?
Yeah.
Surprise there. But there certainly was a non-human that waited on me. And literally, seriously, this woman, when she waited on me, was absolutely hideous to me, just hideous. And when she spoke, anything that she said had a sound to it. It was almost imperceptible, like this extra little sound at the end. Pay attention. These subtleties
Yes.
are the truth. And instead of just having people, like you said, spoon feed you, start using your own innate abilities to determine who's standing in front of you. Who are you having a conversation with? But certainly, I couldn't agree with you more. Don't run to the light. Just don't run to the light, please.
Can I add to what you're saying, Rebecca?
Oh, absolutely.
So many people have forgotten how to feel. And there's a man that lives here at my place now. He has his own talk show, Dale. And I asked him what he was feeling when one night. And he always started off the sentence with, well, I think. And I said, stop, Dale, stop. Because you're thinking. You got to stop thinking. What are you feeling? And he always kept starting off with, I think. And I'm like, no, I don't want you to engage your brain. I don't want you to think. I want you to feel. And if you don't remember how to feel, what are you feeling right now in the sense that can you feel the air temperature on your skin? Can you feel the concrete under your feet? Can you feel the hardwood bench on your backside? What are you feeling? And that's what I conveyed to him. What are you feeling? Really feel. And so many people have forgotten how to feel because this skin suit we're in, this body, this experience, feeling is very much part of it. And if you ignore that, if you don't remember how to feel, then you might miss something. So go with your feeling. What are you feeling when someone's standing in front of you? And think about all the times where you've worked somewhere and someone was an absolute butthead and you or somebody else, another coworker, had made the comment, that guy is just a snake. Well, you might have been more right than you knew.
Yeah, yeah. Tom, you are absolutely right. The expression of what you just said is almost the same thing that I've told people over and over again. What I tell them is use the totality of you. Use your mind, but use your heart. Use your soul. Use your intuition. Use your intuition. It will speak very loudly to you as to whether something is pulsating, is vibrating correctly. It will feel right to you or it won't. Very simply. I don't know how any other way to say it, but you're right. We've as a society, we've been instructed to process with our minds first. And I didn't start to become a really good adult until I switched and started to feel with my heart first and pay attention to my intuition. It's been a long process, but that's when I really started to grow up. Personal note.
What is that saying that the Indians have? The longest journey you will ever take is from your forehead to your chest?
Yes.
From your head to your heart?
That's the longest
journey you'll ever take. That's right.
Washday. That's right. Absolutely.
So. Yeah.
And being heart-centered is the best thing that anyone can do. And if they're not heart-centered, that's where they need to get to. And with that, being heart-centered, you have to let go of prejudice, bias, your own boxes that you've been in. You have to begin to tear those down in order to find what that is so that you understand what the truth is as it stands before you.
Really well said, Rebecca. Really, really well said. Yeah, absolutely. Hi, JP.
Hey. This comes back to very much what most of the Ever Beyond shows have been about, which is the seven rays, which is felt through the energy of the soul, through the energy of the heart center. Yes. And it's all about sensing your heart center. And when you can get to that place, then you can feel things. But you have to still everything before that, and you can't be excited about anything. Because your heart is not at rest. It's going boom, 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 boom. You can't focus on anything. Your heart has to be at rest, you know. You have to know that you're in a safe place before you can start to feel things. Otherwise, you're still in the reptile complex of the brain. And this is what, again, we've been discussing this on previous shows. Please come back to the archives. I know we've got lots of new listeners. Please come back to the archive page on All Spirit Radio or everbeyond.info. You'll find links to archive pages there. And there are many, many shows about the seven rays, about the energies of ascension, or what we call ascension, or what we call initiation, or what we call the change from 3D to 5D, or whatever you might call it, this transformation that is about to happen to all of us. It doesn't really matter what it's called. We don't really know what it is yet, because it hasn't happened, but it will very soon. And we're already feeling the beginnings of that. I'm having some really neat insights into the manifestation of the world at the moment. Just sitting, just standing in the shower, I've been talking about this, you know.
And you know, I gotta love the showers.
I love the shower because you know it's the flow of cosmic energy. It's the connect. I mean, yes. It's very grounding because the water is that connects you in with the telepathic network of the ley lines under our feet. Because that's the earth cortex that we find ourselves standing on, and we're like one brain cell of the earth.
And, right. Water is a conductor, just like crystal.
That's right.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And so when you're in the bath or when you're in the shower, you're most telepathically connected in the world. Actually, well, you know, just to take it down there, when you're using the bathroom, your base center is open, your crown center is open. There's all sorts of things that are going on that allow spirit to enter. That's why people get these inspirations on. All right, so we got another caller.
Just to,
wait, we got another caller, Thomas.
Oh no, I'm just going to comment while you're bringing them on.
Hang
JP,
on a second.
About the shower. A lot of Indians call that a built-in sweat lodge right there in your home.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Thank you very much. Caller 570. Hello, how are you? What's your name?
My name is Jean-Claude Jasmine from Pennsylvania.
From Pennsylvania. Did you say Jasmine? No.
That's correct.
Oh. Hello. Do you have a question? And who's it for?
Yes, I want to know when you meditate, should meditation give you all the answers that you will need to know when you meditate?
I'm sorry. Could you ask that question again? Just speak a little bit slower. Your voice is a little quiet.
In meditation, while you meditate, should that give you all the answers that you will need to know?
Wow.
Who is that question for? Tolik?
Caller, could you... Is the question for Tolik, or is...
Tolik, or whoever wants to pick it up.
Okay. Would you like to take your call off the air now? So if you just listen back to your radio, we'll close this call and we'll discuss your question. Thank you very much,
Jasmine. You want me? Right, thanks.
So...
Okay. I am not a good person to answer because I don't meditate. My own version of meditation is spending a lot of time out in nature. So I'm going to defer the question to anybody else that has any insight on the benefits of meditation.
So I didn't hear the question real well. I know he repeated it, or they repeated it several times, but I could not hear.
Yeah, I
was asking, I think he was asking, do we get all the answers that we need when we meditate?
Here's how I would answer that, if that's the way the question was stated, is the individual will get the answers that they need during meditation. There's breathing techniques that you can use, and the benefits, you know, you can read Time Magazine. It was in Time Magazine. I talk about this on my show all the time. Where they talk about the literal physiological benefits of meditation, what it does for the body physically, puts it all back into a state of normalcy for that individual. It brings blood pressure down. It rejuvenates. It creates peace within. There's just too many benefits that are, you know, could go on and on. But this, it's scientifically proven that the benefits of meditation, for the individual experiencing it, it comes in different ways, whether you're a sensory individual, whether you're a visual individual, whether, you can hear, anything that's being spoken. Sometimes it's just a space of no space, and it's just a feeling of floating. So whatever happens to or for that person during the meditation is going to be exactly what that person needs at that point in time.
And, I refer to my previous answer, as they say in the British Parliament. Even just having a shower and just allowing the feeling the water moving over your skin takes the sensation away from your mind. And if you concentrate on feeling the water impinging all over your body, you're completely moving your sensorium from your mental process to your
right.
physical process, and allow that to, and then you can having disconnected from the mind, you can then imagine yourself, for instance, letting go of all your negative thoughts and letting them be washed away, and allowing the water to bring in new, clean, high, interesting thoughts from the highest realms that you can imagine. Tolle.
I do the same thing when I hop in my mountain bike and I go for a ride for an hour and a half, or I take a walk, or I hike out in the desert. I achieve, it's not the same state as meditation, but I achieve the same ends, which is the quieting of the mind. Nature is a wonderful, Mother Nature, this planet, is a wonderful, wonderful healer. The vibration of this planet already is a wonderfully healing vibration. So being out in nature and giving over the totality of you to the sound of the wind blowing through the trees, or the little sounds of birds chirping, or of the ocean lapping against the shore, or the pristine quiet of a desert night, these are all rejuvenational ways for you to quiet your mind and to go into your intuition space, your heart space. There are all sorts of things that come to me when I'm out there walking around or riding my bike that would never come to me simply because I'm out in nature. It's really about quieting the mind, quieting the self. That's my own version of it.
And if I could just add to what Shane told, like, it seems like you and I have chewed some of the same dirt more than we realize, because I don't meditate either. I just have what I call quiet moments.
Thomas, yes. I've got to interrupt. We're right towards the end of the show, the normal allotted time. Are you, Tolek, available for any extra time, or do we need to let you go at this moment?
I'm good for probably another 20 minutes or so.
Okay. Okay, so we'll do a half hour overrun or something like that. So do continue. I'm going to take a little, a couple of minutes break in a while. I'll do that now, and then we'll come back with some more stuff. So
could I just finish answering the question first?
If you can do it in 12 seconds, go.
If I understood the question correctly, it was, do we get all the answers we need? And what I'll say to that is that I get the answers I need, and then I'll always ask, is there more? And sometimes they tell me yes, and sometimes they tell me no. So I ask more questions later if I need to, but that's the way it works for me.
Yeah, always.
Okay, here we go. This is Wolf Spirit Radio.
Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan. Join me and an impressive speaker list for the online summit live event December 29th from noon to 3:30 p.m. Central Time. Celestial Blue Star, David of Arcturus, Norma Hollis, Guy Red Owl, and Wendy Kennedy. We will talk about the magic of life and its limitless possibilities, the new levels of the wavering effects that affects many people. We encourage you during the question and answer session to be actively involved by presenting the questions that you may not have been able to find answers to. So much information to be shared in this awesome event. So log on to journeyswithrebecca.com and click on the classes and events tab for full details and how to register for this unique event. That's journeyswithrebecca.com.
The world is like a ride at an amusement park, and when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride. And we kill those people. Shut him up. We have a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up. Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account and my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we always kill those good guys who try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok. But it doesn't matter, because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now. Between fear and want to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love. Instead, see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year, and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace. Thank you very much. You've been great. I hope you enjoyed it. London, you're fantastic. Thank you. Thank you very much.
This is Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh yes, this is Wolf Spirit Radio. This is Ever Beyond, and this is Beyond the Beyond. We're extending Ever Beyond. Oh, I think I don't think I've ever done this before, another half hour. But anyway, they're all usually neat little two-hour packages. So this one is going to be a little longer. We're going to have two and a half hours. Tonight I'm joined by Rebecca Jernigan and Tolek and Thomas Hughes. I think he's still on the line. And also various callers who've come by. So thank you very much for listening, and please remember that Wolf Spirit Radio is a listener-donated radio station. We have no commercials, as you heard. We didn't try to sell you anything. We do this mostly out of the crazy love that we have for humanity. We're all completely broke, and nobody makes a penny from this. We have to pay basically to have this running. Dave pays out of his pension. You know, I do my work and do what I can for the station with my work. And so if you can find a donate button, click that and put a few pennies in, a few dollars in, spare change, spare PayPal credits. I'm going to bring this caller in because it's annoying me. Anyway, hello, caller. Please identify yourself.
Hi, my name is Kim. I'm calling from Long Island, New York.
Perfect, Kim from Long Island, New York. That's the best ID we've had all evening. It must be midnight. Hello, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm very, very well. It's been a very galactic evening. Do you have a galactic question?
I sure have. I actually have two questions for Tolek.
Right.
Am I on the air, by the way?
Well, you are live on the air, Kim.
Oh, hi.
That's right. Now, just
hello.
Want to,
hi, everyone.
Wait a minute.
Caller 83. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. Good to hear your voice.
Yes, good to hear your voice again.
It's good to
go
be
ahead.
Back into the world. I was out of commission for 2 weeks here with no communications for about 2 weeks. I can't complain. I have heat and electric, but no communications, off the grid.
Wow. As long as we're talking to somebody from Long Island, why don't you tell all of us, you know, if you will, in short form, what you experienced and what things are like today after a hurricane?
Oh, okay. And there is, as short as I can, it's just a horror show here, but I experienced the complete opposite. My block, my entire street was completely unaffected, almost like I woke up and said, gosh, did we even have a storm? But the only thing that I was lost was, you know, cable, net. I had no connection to the world to find out how bad it was except the radio. And it's horrible. And there are people as I speak that have still no power, no lights, and no communication. So I can't even complain about having no internet for 2 weeks, you know, or no phone or TV. So there are hungry, cold people still. It's crazy here. It's just like something you see on TV with Katrina, or but this is a very bad storm. I have a lot of questions about that. I mean, we could do a whole show on this because I don't know how much of this storm was natural, how much was HARP. I really don't know, and it's so hard to be put off the grid and just have nothing but a local radio to go by with the world. So that's kind of a crazy situation. A lot of these shows talk about it, but then when you go through it, it's really a bit nuts to go through. But I was very fortunate without having to lose power or heat or, you know, food or anything. I still had all the basic necessities, so I was very blessed.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
But you know that I know a lot about energy. I do energy work. I've been working on I set a space or spin a field of protection around my house and my area, my whole neighborhood. And I haven't told anyone about that except my kids. But when you walk around my neighborhood, it's virtually untouched, no trees, and yet blocks away. It's just a disaster. So.
Wow.
It's bad, but I'm happy to have a phone and be in communications, and it's nice to be in touch with you guys, and what a great show. So I have two questions. Sorry to go on and on about Long Island, but it is very bad here, so believe what you say if you're listening to the media and everything. It truly is. It's going to be a life-changing event that will take years. For some people have lost their entire homes, their lives. It's crazy. But anyway, to get off that topic, Tolik, I have a question about when time changes, which I believe time has already been changing, and everybody is going to experience kind of this fluctuation of time, almost like you go through your day in a blur. It just goes so fast, and even people who are unaware talk about time, how it changes. So when we hit that climax, I guess, on 12/21/12, where you say that time just really really goes away, does that mean that everything is really going to be noticeably different, whereas we can't even make plans to make it to our job or to get to school, or, you know, because time is a functional thing? Does it mean that everything is going to fall apart? All functions and everything is going to fall apart at once, kind of thing?
Yeah. No, it's a good question. I was having a conversation with my Andromeda contacts last night. And they said that the process will be progressive, so that the loss of the measurement of time in January 2013 will be different from April of 13, will be different from June. It'll definitely be more progressive. As a way of expressing it, we'll probably get to the place where it will get, these aren't the right words, but it'll get so bad that people will start to say, all right, we can meet before lunchtime, or we'll meet after lunchtime. Let's make sure that we go to the movie after dark. You know, people will start to communicate like the American Indians did, because they won't be able to rely on their watches and their clocks, because they're not going to function anymore. They will progressively.
How do they know when to start the movie? How do they just kind of know when everybody has showed up to the movie and it starts? And,
I honestly don't have those answers.
Actually,
I don't know how. Know how we're going to do this.
Can I just tap into this? Because
sure.
This is a very important question, and it is to do with the whole process. Because don't forget, we're all talking about the same thing. Let me just bring this caller rather insistent. Oh, no. Please call back. Oh, God. All right. Decline. Right. How do I bring this back? Right, sorry. I was trying to find my way around Skype and I lost you all. In terms of timing is a very, very important thing. And it's one of the inner senses that we have, a sense of knowing when the right timingness of something is. Now, we've generally lost it. This is something that I've been personally working on for quite a long time, if you excuse the pun. Hang on a second. Hello, caller. Please hold while we're speaking. We'll come to you in a minute for area code 434. The idea is to actually start doing it now, before this thing starts to collapse. And I would recommend tuning in to the inner sense of when it's the right time to move. We have this. You know that it's the right time to get up and go. You just feel like it. Most people resist it because it doesn't fit in with the tick-tock time. But we all have this sense. And I just want to say that any of the questions that people are going to ask, we all have the inner sense that corresponds with that with that question. All of your questions are all inside you all, if you see what I mean. Oh my God, there's so many people calling. I don't think we're going to have enough time to get all the questions in. Kim, I would like... right, so do you want to... is your second question brief? Is it yes or no?
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Now, the false flag is still totally separate. The false flag aliens, when they come, is this going to be the catalyst for people really to wake up and then make their choice between what dimension they choose to go in? Because, as I understand it, we all have a choice of what dimension we want to go and where we're ready to be. Will this be the catalyst for that choice? Will we then really notice lots of changes in the world as far as people going their separate ways or their separate dimensions?
Okay, good question. I sincerely believe that this false flag event, this fake UFO, ET landing, we're here to save you thing, will rather be not what you described, but will rather be a wake-up call for people to really start to pay attention to their intuition, because what they see with their eyes will not be true. Their eyes will think they're seeing all love and light, all beautiful ETs.
Right.
That's what their eyes are going to see. But they're going to have to, if they want to, they're going to have to reach down inside and feel with their heart's intuition and determine if what they're seeing is what they think they're seeing. I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, but I think it'll be a moment of true relearning of discernment and intuition for a lot of people. That's my own intuitive take on it.
That's exactly what I'm saying, is that we have inner senses that already exist. And I think, you know, just if you can, just try and tune in, you know, particularly if you're like out with people and it's a social thing rather than a sense of, you know, you have to be there from 9 till 5. And, you know, when you're a social occasion, just practice in feeling yourself, yes, it's the right time to go. And if with friends or partners, see if you can all tune into that and see if you can agree, now's the time to go. Yeah, there is a sense, a very, very strong sense. We have this.
Yes.
It's like when you walk into a room and there's a picture that's slightly askew. Everybody's got that sense. You know, it's like it's a disturbance to the force. We can feel these things.
I absolutely agree, and I've experienced that for a long, long time.
So,
and do you think that people who are more awake and aware and already using these senses and already using their intuition for a long time now, will they have a slight advantage as far as when this happens? They won't even have to question. They'll already know.
If you're expecting this thing to happen, you will be able to get through it. Like, I've got
you're
mental numbers
know.
Of calls. Thank you very much, Kim.
Thank you.
Please.
Thank you so much. Take care, guys.
Please clear the line.
Thanks, Kim.
Right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Just real quick, if they come to me and say they're going to save me for something, I'm going to ask them two questions.
All right, I'm going to cut you off.
I'm going to ask them, what are they saving me from? And the second question I'm going to ask is, can I shake your hand? And if they say no to that paints a pretty big picture for me. So just, there we go.
All right. Thank you very much. Just callers who have just come on, I'm going to have to address a couple questions before I come to you. Because, right, no. So, let's try and keep this brief because Tolok's got very few minutes left. So the first thing is there was a question earlier on, and you may have read this already, Tolek, but Andromedan told you something about the people who are praying for Mother Earth. So she's saying, she's from Romania, so she's phrased it basically she's asking, are the Andromedans aware of the yoga movement and the meditators who are praying for Mother Earth all the time?
I honestly don't have a question. I don't have an answer to that question. I can give a global answer, and my global or universal answer would be, because they themselves are higher dimensional beings, they have the ability to have a read, if you will, on the energy of many people. They can sense what each individual person's energy is. So collectively, if there's this outpouring of beneficial, benevolent energy called praying, they're going to sense it. They're going to feel it.
Excellent. Thank you. Now, another question. Why will the Andromedans let the fake landing happen when they can do it for real with their ships? I don't know if that's a sarcastic question, because there's a lull after that, but I'm sure we sort of semi-answered this question anyway, but...
We've already addressed this question. Yeah. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. All right, so area code... Sorry, I hit the wrong button there. It's great. Right, so lots of questions. Let's have a look in the chat room. There are going to be five or six questions here. I'm sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, if anybody else has to contribute to any of the things I'm saying, feel free to jump in.
Thank
you. Has another large black cube been spotted, like the one the good guys already destroyed? Thanks, we are with you.
No. Next question.
No, next question. Okay, area code... something or other. Where are you? How are you?
740.
Yes, that's you. Identify yourself, please, and ask your question briefly.
Okay, I'm Scott from Ohio. Earlier, I missed out on the pyramids, question with the pyramids, but maybe asking it again. The pyramids, what they're doing with them now, can he give us that information? And such as the mounds, all the mounds, I'm in Ohio, and there's mounds, several mounds that are apparently active. What role are they playing? Are they actually, it seems as though they're online and they're doing something, putting out types of energy, or are they playing a program for people, a third dimension program, a fourth dimension program? Can we have some input on that, please?
I'll defer to Rebecca on this one.
Well, the pyramids, and I love the way that you brought up the mounds. I'm originally from Michigan, and so I'm very, very acutely aware of that area in which you live. It is an extraordinarily magical area, by the way, and I call it magical because of the energetics. If you, it's unfortunate some of the mounds are trying to be manipulated and controlled, but please understand that the first part of this that you missed was that there are some points here, and some of these are pyramids that, by the way, they haven't rediscovered yet. There's points of dormancy. When this alignment gets a little bit closer, it's going to begin to activate it. There's going to be not really new ley lines. These are ley lines that have been dormant. They're going to be reactivated. And those mounds, by the way, are part of that. There's going to be part of them that are part of this kind of circuitry, if you want to call it or look at it that way.
Yes.
Those are going to be activated. They're telling me for you that if you put your ear to the ground, you will begin to hear the different tones coming from those mound areas. So if you can take a day and just go out and put your ear to it, you're going to be able to tell the ones that are getting ready to be activated and the ones that are being controlled and manipulated. You have a very, very strong sense there with that. I recommend you using that to your best advantage, especially when this time comes in the alignment. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. I've been hearing that. It's a tone, and it's similar to, like, when he's talking, there's a tone going on, and I do hear that tone. Going on, but what the, so in relationship to that question, in the past, what have they been doing? What programs do they run with these mounds and with these pyramids? I mean, like they say, that they haven't left and they've been here, and these programs, these ley lines, all these things have been running programs. What types of programs have they been operating?
That's a really, really in-depth question.
This is a whole other show.
Let me just answer really quickly. I want to just say,
okay.
The quick answer to this is that these ley lines, the ones that are now, that everyone's familiar with now in our present modern history, they've been sheathed, and what it means is that the natural energies of them have kind of been hijacked, so to speak. The natural ley lines are still there. They're still occurring. What they have been able to do through technology is to tap into and kind of sheathe that natural matrix, so to speak, and utilize that energy to run their programs both on and off the planet.
Thanks very much.
That's the short answer.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
So, thank you very much. And now, next caller is at Area 434. Are you there on the line now? 434?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, wow. I got through.
Yes, you're through. You're live on the air. Please identify yourself and ask a very brief question that can be answered very briefly, please.
Okay, I think my question's for Tolak. This is, my name is Paul from Virginia. My wife and I have been watching and reading some of Tolak's stuff, and if anybody would know, I think he would know how likely it is that reptilians or other ETs would use shape-shifting or jump into human bodies to avoid detection or avoid capture, and basically be held responsible for their actions.
Okay, it's a multi-part answer, but I'll be as concise as possible. Reptilian ETs, whether they are reptilians, all right, I need to back up for a moment. A basis of foundation: reptilians are naturally fourth dimension. Now, lower vibrational fourth dimension, but they're naturally fourth dimensional beings.
Right.
And they project many times, even today, they project a reptilian organic form over their 4D body. They have the ability to manifest a form. They can also mask that with a human-looking form. And so they're doing it already. Rebecca just described one scenario where she was in a bank recently. So they are already, and I'm mixing some terms, but suffice it to say, they have a variety of methods that they can use to manifest a human-looking form. Their problem will come about because their unique lower vibration, their unique lower fourth density vibration, will not make the vibrational shift that Earth and the rest of the people are going to make. They will dissipate and go back to source. The real question is, how many humans, how many people will they try to take on the way with them?
Yeah.
My thinking is as few as possible.
Yeah, so that's...
That's
thank you.
Yeah, that's... Okay. Yeah. That's
so
that's
they
the answer.
Would be able to, they wouldn't be able to exist within a human body.
Yeah, they're not taking over humans. What they're doing is they're manifesting a human form and shape.
Yeah.
And
okay.
And
I think we had heard something about, you know, like walk-ins or whatever, where they can actually take over the soul of a human.
Actually, I know of a situation. I know of two situations where people who you're looking at are physically humans, but their original soul essence comes from a reptilian home system. I know of two humans that I've interacted with that
they're being triggered to awaken, and one of them is a reptilian agent, but he's just coming into the knowledge of who he is. It's his soul pattern. It's not his physical body. It's his soul pattern.
Right.
Very interesting. So thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless you. Thank you for joining us.
That's a deep subject. Took a long time.
Indeed.
Oh my gosh, we could talk about that for days.
Yeah. Thomas.
If I could just put you onto this, Tolik, and I'll give you the link here in Skype. Lisa Harrison interviewed a man by the name of Chris Thomas from Wales that reads the Akashic Records, and he said, you have to understand the Akashic Records, it doesn't get entered until it's happened. Everything before that is just a potential or a possibility. He said, we're a little bit behind schedule, but it's been entered in the Akashic Records that those who are not supposed to be here have a choice to leave, or they simply will not be able to maintain physical life here. And he says it right there in the interview. So I give the link there, and so you can listen to him at your convenience as well.
It's good to hear somebody else confirm that. That's good to hear.
Right.
Thanks.
Right, exactly. Thank you, Thomas.
Right. I've got some more questions from various chat rooms and various people. We have a really packed house tonight. It's really great. Do support the station by hitting the donate button wherever you can find one. Here's a question from Hubert to Tolik. Is there any danger activity of reptilians, Dracos, trying to remove Andromeda Council people from our solar system?
Short answer, no. The people of the Andromeda Council, led by the people from Procyon, have already destroyed, taken out, cleaned out, removed 15 reptilian undersea bases, and transported off planet tens of thousands of reptilian cabal officials, as well as Illuminati reptilian officers. So they've already dealt with them before. They will deal with this remaining bunch as needed. They've done it before, they'll do it again. Not a problem.
Great. So, more questions.
There's a roll over there with that, Tolik. I hope we have an opportunity. No, it gets pretty in-depth. I hope we have an opportunity to venture into that one day very soon, into that whole thing. Lots of information there, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there is.
All right, I've got people who have been abducted by the reptilian-looking beings, will it be possible to track them and bring them human abductees back? That's a difficult question, isn't it?
Yeah, I have a partial answer, and my partial answer is the people of the Andromeda Council, if they're given the name of a person from Canada or for the U.S. or from Mexico, for that matter, if they're given the name of the person, the chief technology officer, Azar, for the Andromeda Council, they have really sophisticated energy tracking equipment. Each human person is more importantly, first and foremost, a human soul, a spirit essence. That spirit essence and that soul has an energy signature. If that person's name is given to Azar of the Andromeda Council, she can do a search and look up that energy signature, and then they can track it. We don't have the capability here yet, but they do.
Yeah.
Next question.
Well, I think that should wrap it up. We're at 28 minutes past, and we're just about to close up the show. That was a marvelous appearance there. Thank you very much, Tolik. Thank you very much, Rebecca. Thank you very much, Thomas. And thank you for everybody who's called into the show. Do support Wolf Spirit Radio. Do support Ever Beyond. We do accept them donations, and they go towards the running of the show, the paying of the servers, and the storing of the archive. So thank you very much. Visit those of you who came to listen to Alex Collier. We're very, very sorry that we couldn't bring him on tonight. So if you visit wowwowwow.alexcollier.org, there's a place you can send him donations. You can see statements about what's going on in his place, in his kind of world, plus lots of other exciting things. Rebecca Jernigan, wowwowwow.journeyswithrebecca.com, Tolek, wowwowwow.andromedacouncil.com, Thomas Hughes, do you have a wow?
The only question I have at this point is that I managed to keep the 50-50 under wraps adequately.
Thank you very much, Thomas.
Thomas, I know what he's talking about.
Anyway, so, Tolek, Rebecca, Thomas, thank you very, very much, and I'd like to play us out with the magic Ever Beyond theme. Which is what the hell? Where the hell is it? Oops, I've lost it. Quick, where's the Ever Beyond outro? And there it is.
Thanks. It was a pleasure.
There we go.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Bye.